Jeremiah 17, and we'll look at verses 5 through 8. If you remember, this is a continuation of the message from last week, and the title of the message is Your Trust Has Serious Consequences. And I mentioned to you last week that this message has two parts, and I intended to get both of those parts done last week, but it didn't happen, and so we'll take the second part this week. But let me read the verses, and I'll remind you of where we've been so far in the message. We'll pray, and then we'll get right into the second part of the message. Jeremiah 17, verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord, Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You remember last week we talked about the fact that we are not to trust in man. And that if we do trust in man, that there is a serious consequence for that. In fact, so serious that God calls it a curse. And that when we trust in man, we are actually cursed. We don't think of it often that way, but that is God's promise, and that is God's statement and His word. I taught you last week about the fact that this statement or this curse has a history in the nation of Israel, and how in Isaiah's time, about 100 years before this passage of Jeremiah was written, we find that God was encouraging the people of Judah not to trust in Egypt to defend them from Assyria and from Babylon, but rather to trust in the Lord. But they were always desiring to find their happiness or their contentment or their comfort or their encouragement, their protection in someone else other than the Lord. God likens it here through the prophet Jeremiah to not only trusting in man, but that they were making flesh their arm. Remember, we talked about that. Sometimes we battle with that. It's the desire that, well, certainly we've got to do something. I mean, we can't just sit and trust the Lord, but that's exactly what God wants us to do. That trusting in man means making flesh your arm, thinking that in our own strength we'll be able to defend ourselves. And worst of all, God likens it to our heart departing from Him. And you remember we gave the example of Solomon and how he trusted in man in an early part of his reign over the nation of Israel. He made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. And before the end of Solomon's life, his heart had completely turned away from his God, and you know that story if you know anything about Solomon at all. And then the illustration that God gave of someone who trusts in man is that he's like heath in the desert. In other words, as long as there's water, everything's fine. But the problem with the desert is that there's only water for a little bit of time. That the person who trusts in man won't see the good that is coming, but rather will inhabit parched places and will dwell in a salt land alone. That is a pretty horrible way to have your life described. But that's the curse upon those who trust in man. But now today, we're going to look at the second half of the message, which is the second half of the passage that we looked at, which is that there is a blessing that is also offered to anyone who will trust in the Lord. And I want to encourage you today to trust the Lord. As we talked about last week that we needed to vote, and hopefully you did in this last election. But I reminded you last week that even though we are to vote and we are to do all the things that we should do civically to try to make sure our leaders are godly people and all of that, our hope is not in them. Our hope is in the Lord. And today is the second part of that to remind us that no matter what happened in this last election, whether you were pleased with it or not, or like probably most everybody, a little bit in between, then either way, no matter what your feeling is about the last election that we just finished up with, you need to make sure today that your trust is in the Lord. And if your trust will be in the Lord, you'll actually be blessed. Your trust will have serious, and in this case, good consequences. Let's pray, and we'll get into the message. Lord, I thank you again for the great privilege, Lord, to be able to stand behind the pulpit and open up your word and preach. Lord, I do count it an honor. Thank you for it, Lord. But Lord, I also know that I'm not worthy of it. Lord, I feel like no matter how much preparation time is put into a message, that Lord, I'm never quite prepared and never feel like things are exactly the way they ought to be. But Lord, I know that it's not about me, and it's not about the flesh, it's not about my ability to be a great preacher. Lord, it is about your willingness and ability to come and, Lord, take over the service, to feed your people, to bless them, to give them exactly what they need. Lord, you know as well that I want the people to enjoy the service. I want it to be a blessing. But Lord, at the same time, I also recognize that's not important, not really. It is important that you are pleased. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would enable me to preach in such a way that there will be a smile on your face, that you would be able to, at the end of it all, pat me on the back and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, would you help me? I long for that, and I ask you for it. And then, Lord, I ask for each one of us as the congregation here, as we hear your word, Lord, would you give us ears to hear and hearts that are humble and ready to receive your word? Would you feed us? Lord, Satan will try to distract us, and I pray that you would rebuke him and not let him do that. Would you give us a supernatural ability to pay attention and to make application to our lives through your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name, amen. So again, there is a blessing offered in our passage of Scripture. Let's look at the blessing as it's listed in verse number 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. If you remember, when we talked about the curse that was given upon someone who did not trust in the Lord, but rather trusted in man, I mentioned that there was a reason given why there was a curse upon him. Because he was trusting in man, the fact also that his heart was departing from the Lord, and he was making flesh his arm. Remember, that was the reason. Well, in this case, with the blessing, there is also a reason for this. The reason given in this verse, in these verses, is that this person, rather than trusting in man, is trusting in the Lord. And God blesses him because his trust is in the Lord. In my Sunday school this morning, we went through the beginning of the life of Samuel and how he began to be called into the ministry. If you remember, before Samuel, there was a guy named Eli who was the high priest. And Eli was a failure as a high priest. And God, as he rebuked Eli and told Eli that he was going to basically remove him from being priest, eventually through his family, God said these words, "For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Those are important words. I remember as a young person here in our church memorizing those words and remembering and being taught that that is an important lesson that all of us need to learn, that God honors those who honor him. And if people are despising God, then he's going to lightly esteem them. This is one of those cases. If you and I will put our trust in the Lord, if we will honor him by saying, God, you are the one who is the only one who can support me, who is the only one who can protect me, you are the one on whom my eyes are resting, then God will look down upon us and honor us. That's God's principle. But I want to give you an example of this in God's word. Jeremiah is writing this here in Jeremiah 17, but there was another man of God who exemplified what it was to trust in the Lord, and his name was David. Turn with me to two places. Number one, turn to Psalm 56. I told you that we would be back there. Psalm 56, where we were for our scripture reading this morning. Psalm 56, and when you find that, also find 1 Samuel chapter number 21. 1 Samuel 21 is the other place that I would like you to turn to. 1 Samuel 21 and also Psalm 56. We'll look at just the beginning of Psalm 56, and then we'll go to 1 Samuel 21, and then we'll go back to Psalm 56. And I do that just to make sure you're awake. All right, so Psalm 56. Notice, if you would with me, in Psalm 56, the heading of the psalm. Now, your Bible may or may not have the heading. Most do. But in Psalm 56, I want you to notice, first of all, the heading. It says, "To the chief musician upon Joneth Elam Rekokim, Miktam, which means a prayer, Miktam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. So this is a psalm that David wrote when the Philistines took him in Gath. Keep that in mind. Notice in verse number 3 of Psalm 56, where David says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And we say that that is what Jeremiah is talking about in Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord. So David is writing about trusting in the Lord. And when is he writing it? When the Philistines took him in Gath. Please keep your place in Psalm 56. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter number 21, if you would, and we'll look at verse number 10. If you remember that in 1 Samuel 21, David is fleeing, and he is fleeing from King Saul. Saul has an army of men and all the power of the state behind him to come and hunt David like an animal in the wilderness. And David is running for his life at all times. He then runs to the Philistines in Gath, which, by the way, he never should have done. But in a moment of weakness, he runs and hides with the Philistines, the enemies of God's people. Not a good idea. But he does. He makes a mistake, but God's going to preserve him nonetheless. 1 Samuel 21, verse number 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart." Now notice these words in verse number 12. "And was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath." We're going to read the rest of it, but stop there and let's think about what's being said right here. David's running from Saul. Why does he go to the king of Gath? Because he is afraid. Can I say this as a side note? We rarely make good decisions when we are afraid. When fear is in our heart, we rarely, if ever, make the right decision. David makes a wrong decision here based on fear. Fear does not come from God, okay? But when he goes there to the king of Gath, the Philistine, he's thinking he'll have protection there because, after all, he's running from Saul, so therefore the Philistines will give me protection, right? Well, they do for a little bit, but when the princes who are around the king of Gath realize that this is David, they say, "Hey, do you remember that this is the guy that they used to sing about? They wrote songs about, patriotic songs in their country, about how this guy has killed thousands and 10,000s of us?" And when David hears that, now is he not only afraid, he's sore afraid. Fear really begins to well up in his heart, and he's afraid because he realizes the king of Gath is probably going to take his life. Let's read on. Notice what it says in verse number 13. "And he," David, "changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard." In other words, he acted like he was crazy and out of his mind. Verse 14. "Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" Look at verse 1 of the next chapter. "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him." Now go back to Psalm 56. Here's David fleeing from Saul. He's afraid. So what does he do? He trusts in man. He trusts in the enemies of God to be his protection. He says, "I'm going to run to the Philistines. They'll help me out." That does not work well for him. In fact, can I say it this way? He brings a curse upon himself. That he brings a curse upon himself where the person he thought was going to be his help is actually his enemy, and now his heart is really afraid at that time. So that now leads us to Psalm 56. What was going on in David's heart and mind at that time? Well, Psalm 56 shows us. Here's what David says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high." Many as in Saul and his army, and now the Philistines. Verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Can I say that verse 3 is a change from how David started out in 1 Samuel 21 and verse 10? When he was afraid, he ran to the Philistines. Bad idea. When he got there, he was cursed. He changes his mind now and says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 4, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In other words, David is not going to fear what Saul's going to do unto him. He says in verse 4, in God I will praise his word. Verse 5, every day they wrest my words. In other words, they twist them. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. Notice verse 6. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. You know, these days, as we look at the political landscape around us and the climate around us as far as how things are going for Christians and anybody who wants to live decently and live in freedom and all of that, and how many times don't we hear about, do you know what they are secretly planning behind the scenes? Did you know that there are people who behind the scenes are secretly working on things and trying to work against us? And my answer is, well, duh. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful. I just mean, it's always been that way. This is not a new thing, my friends. This is a very old thing. It was going on in David's day. It was going on in Jesus' day. It was going on in the apostles' day. It's been going on forever. Anybody who's trying to serve the Lord has people who hide themselves and try to mark their steps and conquer them. But I am determined, and I pray that you are determined with me, that I am going to say, what time I am afraid, I will trust in God. In God, I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. My trust is in the Lord. Let's read on. Verse number 7. Shall they escape by iniquity? The obvious answer is no. In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Now, Psalm 56, David's writing that. When is he writing that? In the middle of the time when Saul is hunting him through the wilderness like an animal. Right after David makes a mistake, trusts in man, and goes to the Philippines. Sorry about that. That might be a good place for all of us to hide, right? I hear it's hot there, though, but the food is really good. Back to the message. All right, here we go. Philistines, right? He goes to the Philistines. He's cursed there, and he wakes up and realizes, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to trust in man. I'm going to trust in God. And a couple of different times in that psalm, he says, I'm going to trust in God's word. I'm going to praise his word. You know what David is saying? I'm not going to look at the circumstances of what's going around me. I'm going to focus on what God's word says, what his promises are. And I have made a determination in my mind. I am determined. I will praise God. Everything that happens doesn't matter. I will praise God. In fact, he even says in verse 12, thy vows are upon me, O God. He's basically saying, God, I have promised you that no matter what, I am determined that I'm going to praise you. And then he says, thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? David says all of this in that time. You and I know the rest of the story. Was David preserved? Yes. Did it turn around for David? Yes. Was there a time when he was able to walk before God in the light of the living and have a rejoicing heart and have all the things that God promised him? Yes. There came a time when Saul was gone. There came a time when David ascended to the throne. There came a time when God's promises are fulfilled. And David right here says, I am determined, I'm going to praise God. Friends, that is an example of how to trust in the Lord. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, remember that the blessing is upon the person who trusts in the Lord. There's another reason why there is a blessing, not only because his trust is in the Lord, but notice what else it says in Jeremiah 17 in verse number 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. I want you to contrast that between what it says in verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. Those are the two contrasts. The one who's blessed, his hope is in the Lord. The one who's cursed, he makes flesh his arm. In other words, if I'm going to get some things done, I've got to do it in the flesh. I mean, after all, we can't just sit back and do nothing. Because look at it, the enemies of God and of his people. I mean, they're going to overcome us if we don't do anything. We've got to do something. That's making flesh our arm. But the person who's blessed says, my hope is in the Lord. God will take care of it. In David's life, do you remember an opportunity that he had to make flesh his arm? I remember two specific opportunities when David had an opportunity to make flesh his arm. And there were both when God had put Saul right in front of him. And David had the opportunity. In one case, Saul was fast asleep, and David was right next to him. And David's companion said, listen, this is the opportunity. God put it right in your hands. Now, he didn't use these words, but in my mind, I can hear almost these words coming out of his companion's mouth. Here's your opportunity to do something about what's been going on. So David, all you got to do is unsheath your sword, and with one swipe, you can chop off his head, and it's all done. And David, again, these are my words now, not David's. David said, I'm not going to make flesh my arm. My hope will be in the Lord. God will take care of it. Someday, Saul is going to die at God's hand, but I'm not going to be the one to lift up my hand against God's anointed. And God blessed David for that. You see, his hope was in the Lord, and he was blessed for that. He wasn't going to make flesh his arm. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Again, keep your place in Jeremiah 17. Look at 2 Chronicles in chapter number 32. Here is another example of somebody who had their trust in the Lord. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse number 8. Now, in 2 Chronicles 32, best I can tell, this is about 90 years earlier than what is written in Jeremiah. This is the time of Isaiah, but it's found in 2 Chronicles 32 and verse number 8. Here we have, by the way, Sennacherib invading Judah. Okay, so Sennacherib is from Assyria. Remember that there was a temptation in Judah to trust in Egypt to protect them from Syria. Or I'm sorry, Assyria. Assyria comes against them, and here is what the king says to his people, verse number 7. So 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Here we have an example of a king who got it. He understood that, okay, the king of Assyria, they have all the fleshly strength with them, but our hope's not in that. Our hope is in the Lord. Sure, we could go to Egypt and try to get them to help us, but that would be trusting in men. Instead, we are going to trust in the Lord, and that's what you and I should do. We can go back to Jeremiah 17 now again, and I want you to notice now that not only does this blessing have a reason, but it also has an illustration. You remember that the curse had an illustration? That person would be like a heath in the desert, would not see when good comes, right? Would dwell in a salt land alone. Well, there's an illustration given to the man who trusts in the Lord, and that's in verse number 8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Here's the illustration. Here's what the person will be like who trusts in the Lord. Number one, they will be like a tree planted by the waters. How is that different from the heath in the desert? Well, in every way. In every way, it's different. The heath in the desert, how do they survive? They survive whenever the rain comes. As long as there's rain, then they're doing fine. They're green. Everything looks good, beautiful, just like the illustration I gave you last week of the desert in Arizona, right? It's beautiful as long as the rain is there. But here's the problem with the desert. There's not much rain. Now, let's contrast that with a tree planted by waters. Let's go back to Arizona in our minds, okay? Today, as cold as it is, it'd probably be nice if we could travel to Arizona in reality, but we can't, all right? We're just going to go in our minds. In our minds, we go to Arizona. I want you to picture standing on top of a mountain. If you've ever seen pictures of the desert Southwest, you know that there is a vast array of just dry, arid landscape. And if we could stand on a mountain, we could look off in the distance and see dry, arid landscape, middle of August, and that's all you would see for miles and miles and miles, except in your mind's eye, I want you to picture, you see a line of green, tall trees that just kind of slithers through the desert. And here's what you know whenever you look across the desert and you see dry, arid land, and yet you see a little sliver of trees. There's water there. There's water there. And in the middle of the desert where there's hardly any rain, you can go to where those trees are, and usually, at least in the area of Arizona where I was, there were cottonwood trees. And if you've seen a cottonwood tree, there's some, by the way, by Lake Mendota, there's some that are there as well, and they get huge. They grow very, very tall. They are very thick. They have huge branches, green, and there's provide nice shade. It's beautiful in the middle of the desert. You have almost a little bit of an oasis. And why is it that in the middle of the desert where hardly anything can grow and the only trees that are there are pretty much just small little shrubs of trees, and yet you can have this tall tree in the middle of nowhere because they're planted by the waters? And God says, the man who's trusting in me is going to be like that tree. Everyone else around them is faded. Everyone else around them has fainted, quit. Their life is dry. They live in a salt land alone. There's nothing there. There's no fruit on their life. And in the middle of nowhere, there's this person who stands out above all the rest. And something's different about this person. They're not filled with care. They're not concerned about everything. They're not worried and up and down and having bad days and good days. Their life is different. What is the difference? They trust in the Lord. They are like a tree planted by waters. They are like a tree, as it says in this verse, that spreads her roots out by the river. Notice what it says next in verse number 8, in the middle of the verse, and shall not see when heat cometh. Contrast that, if you would, with verse number 6, where it says, the cursed person shall not see when good cometh. You see the difference there? The cursed person doesn't see when good comes. The person who trusts in the Lord won't see when the heat comes. When things dry out, what are you talking about? You're worried? Everything's falling apart, really? I can't really tell, because where I dwell, trusting in the Lord, everything's the same. God is the same yesterday and today and forever, and the person in whom my hope is the same. Whether my person I vote for wins or whether they lose, whether the country does well, whether there's a recession or whether there's abundance, it's all the same to me, because my hope is in the Lord. I don't even notice when those things go on. That's the person who trusts in the Lord. Notice what else it says about this person. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. We might put it in our modern English this way. The person won't be full of care in the year of drought. Right now, it would seem that we are going through a time of drought. As we look into the future, boy, it looks like this drought might last a long time. It looks like things might get ugly for a while, and things might get bad, and we might not be able to live like we always have lived. And, you know, it's going to be a time of drought. Here's the question I have for you. Are you full of care about that? Does that keep you up at night? Does that cause you to spend a lot of time angry and upset and irritated and frustrated and full of care? Then if so, then you're not really trusting in the Lord. In fact, let's look at Philippians chapter number 4 because the Bible speaks of something very similar there. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. We share this verse every once in a while because it comes up so often in the context of messages. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And then notice verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is the promise of God. Friends, that's the person who's trusting in the Lord. It's just put in different words in Philippians. It's the same thing. The person who trusts in the Lord, what does it look like? Well, here's what they do. Every care that comes to their heart, they bring it to God, and they lay it at His feet. They ask Him for what they need, and they do so with, here we go, thanksgiving. And that doesn't mean they serve it up with pumpkin pie. Doesn't mean that they have turkey every day, okay? What that means is as they bring their request to the Lord, they also come to Him thanking Him for all of His benefits, thanking Him for all of His goodness. They give thanks to Him as they give their requests. And then here's what they do. They leave it in God's hands. Because if I'm really honestly, truly praying and seeking God's face, here's what I do. I give it to the Lord, and then I walk away, and I don't carry it back with me. You see, because if I bring it to the Lord, and I lay the care at His feet, and before I leave, I pick it back up again and walk away with it, that means I really didn't bring it to the Lord. And that's often what we do. We bring it to the Lord, and then we pick it back up, which means we never really gave it to the Lord. It was just a formality. Has your prayer ever been a formality? Mine has. I battle with that constantly. I battle with that desire to just, I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, take care of this, would you? And then I still worry about it, which means I didn't bring it to the Lord and really trust Him that, okay, He's got it taken care of. Sometimes, here's what we are. We're too adult. We're too grown up. That's why Jesus said that we're to come to God as a little child. Because here's what a little child does, honestly. Here's what a little child does. A little child says, God, I don't have the right words to say this to You. I don't know how to ask this in a special religious way. But God, there's something I'm really concerned with. And God, I don't know how to take care of it. But would You? God, would You take care of this situation? I don't even know what to ask, but I know that You know. Would You help? And then, okay, God, thank You. Sometimes we're too adult and we think we've got to, what are the words that I'm supposed to use now? How do prayers usually go? Friends, let go of all that formality. Let go of all that religiousness. And come to God as a little child, as your heavenly Father, and lay it at His feet and say, God, I don't even know what to ask, but here, would You please help? God desires for us to do that, because what that does is that shows our trust is in the Lord. And when we do that, here's what God will give to us then, peace. My heavenly Father will take care of it. He's got it done. That's the way we need to pray. That's the way we need to take care of it. In these days that we're in, listen, as we look at the political landscape around us, as we look at the world falling apart around our ears, here's what we need to do. Lord, I don't even know what to pray, but would You please help? and then rest. God's got it taken care of. But what if the economy falls apart tomorrow? What if politically it falls apart? What if they start taking away our religious freedom and come after us? I don't know what to tell you. The only thing I can say is my Heavenly Father has it handled. I'd love to be able to give you some, you know, beautiful plan that you and I can work out over the next 10 years. And if it all falls apart, we'll do this and then this and all the dominoes will fall into place. But friend, there is no such plan, not in the human world. But I can tell you this, my Heavenly Father knows exactly what to do. And in the day that we need it, He'll give us exactly the wisdom that we need. And not before. Because we got to trust in Him. And that's what David learned in Psalm 56. That's what you and I need to learn. And if we will do that, then here's what God will do. God will bless us. And He will make sure that we have exactly what we need. As we close, let's look at one last passage of Scripture, Psalm number 1. I bet you figured we'd probably go to Psalm 1, because if you're like me, as you read Jeremiah 17, you wondered if you had turned to the wrong passage of Scripture, because it sounds a lot like Psalm 1. And of course, Jeremiah was written quite a few years after Psalm 1 was written. And I would imagine, this is just my mind, I don't know this for sure, but I would imagine that Jeremiah even had this psalm in his mind as he wrote that. So think of it this way, not as two separate ideas, not that the blessing in Psalm 1 is one blessing and the blessing in Jeremiah 17 is another one. I would submit to you that they really are one and the same. They're worded different, but the man who's trusting in the Lord is the one who's obeying Psalm 1. And notice what it says, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. That's advice, isn't it? The counsel of the ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You remember Psalm 56, David saying, in the Lord will I praise his word. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're the ones who aren't trusting in the Lord, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's trust in the Lord. Let's meditate on His word. Let's remember that He's in charge and He will control all things. And if we will, God will bless us and we'll have everything we need, even in the middle of a drought. Let's pray.